It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 398. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me suggestions for future show topics or any question. My email address is miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message. The phone number is 240-949-2450. And that's Mike Tech Show, all one word, on Skype. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/MikeTechShow, and Facebook, facebook.com/MikeTechShow. I have a jam-packed show again, basically three sections. I'll be talking about Apple and their updates and some of my opinions and the new iPad that's coming out and the new iOS. Got a couple comments on that. Then I have some great email questions following up to some past shows and also some great recommendations. So hang in there for that. And then some stories from the trenches that I think you will like. Before we get started, as always, we want to thank our sponsor, and that's GoToMeeting. Being able to attach a face to a name is important. It enhances our relationships, the way we do business, but unfortunately, meeting all of your clients and colleagues in person can be impossible. That's why I recommend GoToMeeting with HD Faces. It lets you meet face-to-face from anywhere in the world. With GoToMeeting by Citrix, it just takes a webcam and a click to collaborate in group HD video. You can see your attendees eye-to-eye while collaborating on documents in real time. Plus, GoToMeeting is so easy to use and set up, it's simple. But you can start hosting your own face-to-face online meetings today with GoToMeeting, and you can do it free for 30 days. But for this special offer, don't wait. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, and use the promo code PODCAST. So be sure to use the promo code PODCAST. So the new iPad was announced with no new name. It's just called the new iPad yesterday. And looking at the features, some of them are impressive, but not impressive enough to move me to purchase the new iPad. Now, I have an iPad too. So you have the new Retina display. That's the biggest change. Anybody that has an iPhone 4 or 4S, which I have a 4S, the Retina display is gorgeous. It's a beautiful display because of the resolution. Well, this resolution on now a much bigger screen like the iPad is phenomenal. So that's a big difference. Now, if you don't have a tablet and you're in the market, then jump on. But if you have an iPad 2, I don't know. You get the nice display, but right now they have the A5X chip. I'm disappointed in that. I was hoping for the A6 chip, which they've talked about and I know is being manufactured. The A5X is a dual-core chip, but a quad graphics processor. So a quad core for the GPU. I want to see a complete quad core, and that's going to be coming in the next release of the iPad. The EyeSight camera got a little uplift. It's a 5-megapixel. You now can do HD video recording at full 1080p. That's nice. It supports 4G. Another nicety. And dictation. But it's not the full Siri. So here's my take. I'm always the even level release of Apple. I go to every other release. I don't buy every single version as it comes out. That's why I waited. I didn't jump on the iPad. I got iPad 2. So I want the full Siri. I want the A6 chip, and I want a better camera. So given that, all those things that I want, that spells the next iPad release. I'm interested in that next version, not the one that's being released on the 16th. So that's my take on the iPad. It's not enough to move me to jump onto it with the price point, but I'll wait a year, and maybe even less than a year. Because remember, it was less than a year when they had the iPad 2 come out, and that's when I jumped on it. They made all those little extra upgrades. Apple deliberately plans the obsolescence of their products. They already have the technology that they could give us right now on the iPad that I described, but they won't. They'll have an interim release to get everybody to jump on and buy it. Then, less than a year, they'll release the next one with those extra little tweaks that makes a better bang for the buck. That's when I jump in, and that's when I'll get it. With this new release, there was a new iOS release for your iPhones and your iPads, the existing ones. I highly recommend it, and here's what was improved. Now, they added the Japanese language for Siri. We don't care about that, but photos can now be deleted from PhotoStream. Something so simple that we all want it when they released iOS 5 and iCloud, we couldn't delete photos. So we now can delete photos from PhotoStream. There's a camera shortcut on the front of the phone. I mean, it's nice. Not anything I wanted. Camera face detection now highlights all detected faces. There's a redesigned camera app for the iPad. That was nice. Genius Mixes and Genius Playlist for iTunes match subscribers. Audio for TV shows and movies on iPad are optimized to sound louder and clearer. I just updated to this iOS 5.1 last night. So my iPad, I did not get a chance to test that out with the movies, but I definitely will. Podcast controls for playback and speed and a 30-second rewind for the iPad. Updated AT&T network indicator. Here's the biggie. Addresses bugs affecting battery life. All of us who have an iPhone 4 or 4S know we've been plagued with battery life issues, and you've had to implement some tweaks and tricks. I've talked about them in past shows. They've helped, but they haven't solved the problem. Hopefully, they solve this now with this release of the iOS, and I'm hoping that fixes. And then here, they fix an issue that occasionally caused audio to drop for outgoing calls. I definitely experienced that. It's nice that they fixed this. One other thing is happening, and don't get excited. When you turn off your Wi-Fi and you update it, your 4S, when you're on the cellular network, it now says 4G. It's really not 4G. The hardware was not built into the 4S phone to support the 4G LTE network. So I don't know, is it a bug or a mistake that Apple implemented that with displaying 4G where it really is 3G? Now, AT&T's answer to that is, well, we were always 4G because it was the HSFA Plus network. Well, it's not really the 4G that we see advertised, which is that LTE network. AT&T says there is a network that is between HSDPA, thank you. It is a network that is between 3G and 4G LTE. AT&T calls it 4G. So it's supposedly 4G, and so now we always had that on the phone. It's just now the representation says 4G. So it's not like we have faster network access, which I wish they could magically do with the OS, but it's just an indicator change. Things to be aware of, but I recommend the upgrade because of the bug fixes and because of the battery life. To me, they're the biggest reasons to upgrade. Everything else is just a bonus. You know, we all use, and I talk about CCleaner, great utility. It is now available for the Mac, and it cleans out cache, does some great little tweaks and cleanup for the Mac. I've already used it with a client. So for those of you looking for a free, good utility that can help fellow Mac users CCleaner is available for the Mac. Couple other quick Apple updates. If you have an iMac or a MacBook Pro, they've released a couple upgrades. Of course, iPhoto and iTunes 10.6. And then I noticed a couple other little updates. Keep your Macs up to date all the time. They're always adding features, and everything works better when you're updated, especially with iCloud. You need to have everything updated if you want to take advantage of PhotoStream. Keep on top of your updates, and you will definitely be a happier Mac user. So let's get started with some email. And this is from, we'll say anonymous right now. Here is a link and some info on Google Fetcher. And this is from one of the attendees from PAX. And we were talking about what is the best way to migrate your email if you want to change addresses. Two very important links for tonight. And if you are moving to Gmail, the recommendation is Fetcher. So Google Fetcher, and I'll have a link to that. And if you are moving away from Gmail, then they recommend TrueSwitch. This is a user who has used Fetcher to move people from Comcast. And a great article that I'm going to have links to. And they talk about both TrueSwitch and Google Fetcher. Whether you're coming to Gmail or going away from Gmail, some great links here that you want to go through that process where they take you step by step in notifying your address book and making sure you don't forget everything as you migrate from your email to a new email account. And I highly recommend, if you have an email account, let's say it's Comcast or it's tied to Verizon and it's tied to a particular ISP, please, please consider migrating to Gmail, an email account that's neutral, because if you ever leave that ISP, your email's done. If you go from Comcast to Verizon, you're stuck. So you're better off being at Gmail, and then you're independent of the ISP. All right, next email is from Chris. Mike, how does a PC technician go about getting all the different versions of software for reinstalling onto a customer's computers? With all the different Windows and Office versions out there, it's way too expensive to purchase each version. I know some disks have multiple versions on them, but not all, correct? I know about the torrents out there, but I really want to avoid this because of the obvious legality issues and the threat of them being infected with viruses. I would hope that the customers would have the original OEM disks, but they usually don't, in my experience. How did you overcome this problem? Thanks for your great podcast. Great question. First, I'm going to have links, and this was sent to me by listeners at several occasions, to all of the ISOs for all of the versions of Windows 7. The key is going to always be, or at least normally, on the side of the case. If it's HP or Dell, you have that product key. Also, there's lots of great utilities out there like SIW and Bellark and Magical Jelly Bean Key Finder that can extract the product key. So if the system's operational before you go redo it, get all the product keys. Prodigy Key is another one. Once you get the keys, write them down. All you need now is the media. So now we can take care of Windows 7. We have all the media for that. I'm going to have links for you. For Office, what I recommend is when you're working with a client that does have the disks, make a copy for yourself. It's the only way. I know I'm going to get a lot of grief for this, that it's, you know, oh, it's not legal, but you're not using that key for the other client. But it's a way to collect media, especially Dell. What a great way. I've done this where I've bought systems for a client and ordered the media, but then made a copy for them or something else. Or when I got the media, I end up with extra copies. it's easy to obtain them if you're moving some hardware. You could definitely get the media. I have media for both HP and Dell, but none of the other manufacturers. So if I start working on a Toshiba or something else, well, depending on their media, if it's OEM, no problem. The key's on the side. I know where to go for the media. Media is also good if you purchase, and you've heard me talk about the subscription for TechNet Plus. Very important. And you have access to that media. You can download those ISOs. You could use that media that works with other keys that are out there. So there are resources, and I will do my best to list them in the show notes for you. You definitely can get that out there. My biggest recommendation is start to collect media from clients that have media. And then at least you could start building your collection. And then when you run into a situation, all you have to do is get the key. Uncle Al in the chat said, what about torrents? Chris is kind of afraid of torrents. And I don't blame him. You can stay away from the torrents. There's plenty of other places to be able to get the media from. I hope that helps you, Chris. Good question. I received a couple emails. One from Patrick Boyle. And I received another one stating the exact same thing from Jason Miller. Both of them brought up the point, and I'll have a link to this, that when I talked about antivirus and I said Microsoft Security Essentials, I was putting on business systems because of the licensing with Avaya and AVG and some of the others. You're not allowed to use that in a corporate environment. But Microsoft Security Essentials is free. Well, there is a limit, and that's 10. You're only allowed 10 licenses for Microsoft Security Essentials. So if you have an organization that's greater than 10, you are not allowed to deploy Microsoft Security Essentials. I actually am lucky in that, in the situations where I've been updating it, all of my clients, they are under 10 users. So they have, you know, far less, like we're talking like 4, 5. There was one that was 8. If there's 11, you are breaking the EULA agreement. And I will have a link to the Security Essentials from Microsoft that says that if your business has more than 10 PCs, you can protect them with Microsoft Forefront Endpoint Protection, which you have to pay for. Thank you, Patrick. Thank you, Jason, for pointing that out. This next email is from Microsoft Small Business Specialist. And this is in response to the ISA to ISA VPN printing problem from last week. From the show, the user seemed to have a site-to-site PPTP VPN using ISA 2004 on both ends. From what I gathered, all traffic processes fine. Users on the one LAN can talk to the other side and vice versa. The user also seems to say he has a print server on site B, and users from site B connect to a terminal server on site A and print to site B. He also seems to say that it works at first and then stops. A reboot allows for printing again. The print server has more than one printer attached. So for the review, he has 2 TechNet articles. And then second, we need to get the ISA monitor up and showing us what traffic is passing or not passing. I would edit the filter to show me only deny. If that still floods the log window, then drop it down to the IP of the print server, the IP of the other side of the VPN, etc. User will have to try a few different options here to get some monitoring that gives them the info they need. I would open the monitor on both ISA servers. We need to see what, if anything, is being blocked when the problem happens. Do pings work by the fully qualified domain name and IP to devices on both sides of the VPN? Can he still ping the print server? Does the print server have a ping utility in it that he can ping it from both sides when the problem happens? Is everything patched to the latest? If the above does not give the user more info on when the breakdown is happening, there is known issues with ipnat.sys and packets with certain flags set. Basically, a packet with SYN and ACK and others all set will trick the system into thinking it is under attack, a SYN flood attack, and stop the connections. I am not certain if Microsoft has fully patched this or if it's at the hotfix level and you have to request a patch. There are reg settings that can be applied, but again, I don't know at the service pack level these are required to work. This setting is hard-coded in Windows 7 Server and 8 and above. You cannot turn it off. The SYN attack registry, he has the articles, and then he has another article to look at. I have not went through all of these articles, and the SYN attack would seem the likely offender here, since he says it works for a while and then stops. I want to thank Small Business Specialist for going through that detailed accounting of how to try to fix that problem, because I did ask for that. And see, that's what makes this so great. I am going to forward this email to the user, and hopefully this will help him towards solving the problem that he was having with the printing across the VPN. Thank you for taking the time to that. And I'll have a nice little section in the show notes with all of the links. This is from Michael. He says, I have some file corruption problems and tried the SFC/scan now. And this is on a Windows 7 system. But it said it could not fix even though I ran as admin. Can I reload Windows 7 onto Windows 7 from an installed disk to fix it without wiping the data in the programs? Yes, you can boot into repair mode, and that will refresh all of the system files and basically do almost like a whole other Windows 7 install on top, leaving all of your data in place and all the drivers. I'm not sure if that's going to fix it or not, but I will say this, Michael, and I wrote him back and I said, back up all of your data, make sure you have a reliable backup, then go through the repair. Let's see what happens. This is from a lot of Michaels. This is from another Michael, and he says, what can I use to create an ISO from files in a folder to a DVD? Also, how can the DVD be made bootable? Thanks. Image Burn. IMG Burn, a utility that I've often talked about and linked. Great utility, and you definitely want to use that. And I wrote him back with that link. This is a follow-up to the Windows 7 and XP sharing. This was the problem where I recommended a different to use a router rather than use the Windows 7 system as the firewall. This is the response from Mick. And he says, hi, Mike. I only listened to your podcast 397 podcast this morning, Melbourne, Australian time, where you read out my email sent on the 27th of February. Subsequent to my sending the email, I thought I would go over all the things I had previously checked and tried, but with another set of eyes. I asked my wife, who is not tech savvy, to go through all of the Windows properties, etc., and read back the comments or entries, just in case I had been seeing what I expected to see, as opposed to seeing what was really there. In a previous incarnation as a DBase, Pascal, C, etc. code jockey, we called this the four-eyed principle, but is now probably called peer code review or the like. Anyway, the upshot of this is that when I built the new Windows 7 box and said this PC was a member of a work group, I entered Freds, F-R-E-D-S, whereas the other XP boxes were members of Fred, F-R-E-D. I've changed the name of my work group and replaced it with Fred and Fred's in the email. So now I can see the other XP boxes from my Windows 7 PC. I've not had the chance to re-listen to your suggestion of a router and how to connect, but we'll do so hopefully before the next Plus One podcast. I thought you'd appreciate the feedback and more importantly, the resolution. Sometimes I look for more esoteric and complex and give the simple a cursory overview, which obviously in this case wasted a fair amount of my time. Yours, as well as Tech Vets, is among the 6 podcasts, 2 of them Australian, that I listen to whenever new casts are released. Once again, many thanks for responding to my email and providing answers and suggestions. And this is Michael. And his email is Mick. Thank you, Michael. I appreciate a lot of Michaels tonight. It's nice to hear back from listeners where I read their question and then come up with some recommendations. Always great to have that follow-up to know, hey, is what we recommended? Did it fix it? How did you fix it? This is how everybody learns. Checking the spelling. Oh, how many times have you made a typo mistake? And that's been the problem. As we go into our segment of In the Trenches, a great lesson that I learned on Sunday. Well, I was contacted on Saturday from an employee of someone I know that runs a consulting firm, and their client had a problem with their email being shut down because they had an open relay. So their email server was being used as a spamming server. So they were sending out all kinds of email. It was killing their network traffic, and they were put on spam lists and their email being blocked from being sent. So they cleaned that up. In the process of getting that locked down and cleaning that up, OWA, Outlook Web Access, stopped working. Sending mail completely stopped working. They could only receive mail. And they had a little mess on their hands. So I got contacted, and on Saturday, I remoted in with the gentleman with the One Tech, and we fixed all of the settings in the firewall. Fixed the blacklistings. We fixed the being able to send mail. Everything worked except one thing: ActiveSync from an iPad or iPhone to get their mail. And I knew, and we had the ports open, and OWA stopped working. So clearly, both of those things are tied to permissions and issues within IIS, Internet Information Service, on the Exchange server. I went through all the settings, and now after 4 hours on the phone, it's now 6 o'clock in the evening on Saturday, and we were both dead. And I said, let's live to fight another day, and I'll get back with you on Sunday afternoon after I contact a friend. I connect with Winston Wolf. I get on the phone. This is about 12:30 in the afternoon on Sunday. And he's ready, and he says, I said, you got a few minutes here. Can you help me out? And we contact this other tech, and we all remote in together on the server using, they have a paid version of TeamViewer where you can have multiple people literally remoted in. I got my iPhone, hooked up the conference call for the audio. We're all in on TeamViewer. And we proceeded. I watched Winston work his magic on IIS, where we were both remoting into other client servers that are similarly configured so we could see what the settings were, because there's so many little things in IIS. And here's what happened on Saturday. We kind of went down a rabbit hole where, to fix one error, we took this article that we read from TechNet and started applying all these changes to permissions that really, I think, messed things up. Because as I was watching Winston work, he was changing things back that I had changed the previous day. And then finally, he gets the permissions, and we get everything working. So that was a great collaboration. And I thank Winston for helping me out there with this client's client. So that's was great teamwork. It was really nice getting all that to work. and makes me look good, makes him look good. And I can't wait till Winston comes out where he's doing that talk on virtualization. But now, the moral of the story, though, one of the things that Winston mentioned, with all these changes of all these settings, he asked a simple question. Mike, did you reboot the server? Now, for all the different changes and all the different things, I said, I can't believe we never rebooted the server. Now, that didn't fix the problem, but it was definitely a valuable lesson. When you're making that many changes, even though we were stopping and starting the IIS service, even though we were stopping and starting the information store on Exchange, we didn't solve the problem. The reboot didn't fix the problem. The simple things, like the last email I read, just checking your spelling, checking anything that you've typed. Did you type it correctly? Did you enter the information correctly? And certainly having another pair of eyes always helps. And that's what this tech did. He knew what he was doing, just like I knew what I was doing. But we needed that third set of eyes where Winston was looking at it. When you're looking at something and you're too close to the problem and you're spending hours and hours and hours, sometimes you can't see things clearly. And you got to have that other pair of eyes. I would often, when there was some technical work to be done and I had to send engineers out, I always would try to send them out in pairs, because if you're doing work, it's always easier to be able to bounce something off someone else and you're more comfortable. A shared problem is better than being alone and suffering, and you sometimes can't think as clearly, where if you're sharing it with someone else, that experience, there's a comfort that you get to bounce some things off of each other because you got another pair of eyes looking at it. I think that's very important. Teamwork is important, and it's important to trust to have someone that you can trust, that you can rely on, that you can pick up a phone and call. I think lots of lessons here and on Sunday, and it was great, and it's so nice to be able to, at the end, have everything to work right. Today, I was handed a laptop that the customer was not sure whether the hard drive really had a problem or not. And they were getting a message, but they didn't know if it was a false message. Their system was very slow. It's a problem. So they brought their laptop with me, and I was so glad they brought their external drive where they said that they had a backup. But when I was talking to them on the phone, I said, bring that drive with you because I want to make sure you have a backup. So they brought the system, and it was a smart hard drive error on booting up. So it was a real hard drive error. It's a 3-year-old system, Windows Vista laptop. I'm starting to see a lot of broken Vista systems now. So I'm seeing more Vista now almost than XP, which makes sense when you think of, you know, it was a couple years ago. Here's a couple lessons here and a couple things where you can turn this into making some more money. They bring the Vista system, and it's literally sitting behind me. The hard drive, the minute the system boots, I check it, and I run Crystal Disk Info, and it is big red box bad. We know it's bad. So I look. The system has 4 gigs of memory, 64-bit. It's not that old. I tell my client, I can buy another hard drive online. I'll put it in. It's a Dell system. I said, let me upgrade you to Windows 7. Because your system, because you're running Vista, Windows 7 actually takes less resources. Let me put the new drive in, install Windows 7, reload your data. She used the Seagate software, which was the default. I pulled out my FABS auto backup for tech and made sure to grab everything. I grabbed all the data. It was like 18 gigs of information on the system. That's all saved on their external drive. I already placed the order for the SATA drive for the 2.5-inch for the Dell under $100 from Amazon. That'll actually be here on Saturday. So on Sunday, I'll be doing the work and fixing them up, getting them ready to go, call them and say, hey, come pick it up. So there'll be like 2-3 hours labor, bill for Windows 7, and also a bill for the hard drive. But it's a great way to upgrade the client, the way to upsell and also be able to make some money and feel good about doing that. One of the things that I'm not afraid of moving someone to Windows 7 because it's the right thing to do. Get them off Vista, move them forward, and it's a sales opportunity. And it's one that you're not just doing for the sake of selling, you're actually helping them out. This is what I try to do with anybody that I'm redoing their system for Vista. I really hate to put Vista back on that computer when I would much rather move them to the equivalent of Windows 7. And it's so much easier to do. And that's why I keep some licenses for Windows 7 and even some retail boxes that I bought at a discount that I keep on the shelf here for that very opportunity to be able to move it. If you are buying anything from Amazon, if you know someone who's buying something from Amazon, please use my link, amazon.mikenation.net or miketechshow.com/Amazon, or just go to my website, click on the Amazon link. When you make the purchase, it will provide me with a commission and it helps support the show. Your price is the same, and I so appreciate everybody for continuing to use my Amazon link. I really appreciate it. Thank you very, very much. That is it for tonight's show. I have no music lined up. I can't believe it's 398. We are closing in quickly on show 400. And next week, 399, and the following week, 400. I'll try to plan something special for show 400. This week represents my 7th anniversary in podcasting. So it was March 6th, 2005, that was the first time I started podcasting. So it's been 7 years. Wow, I just can't believe it. It's been a lot of years, and hopefully we can keep it going. That is it. I will be back same time, same channel next week. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.